Hi, Rochelle. Thanks for visiting with me today. Would you mind introducing yourself and sharing a little bit about who you are and your role at Zenger Farm?
Yes. So my name is Rochelle Dixon. I am a community advocate, a food justice warrior, and also a community chef at Zenger Farm.
Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing. I am deeply grateful to be hosting this interview with you in honor of Black History Month and in honor of your incredible work as an outspoken activist and brave advocate in the community. Although you do organize and fight for justice in many different capacities, you just mentioned that you have a background in food justice and that you're a food justice warrior. So would you mind sharing a little bit more about what this work has looked like for you?
Sure. I'd like to start by saying, why food justice? If you look at food, it is one of the requirements for life, obviously. But it's also one of the things that crosses income levels, it crosses race lines. So you're looking at food justice, you're looking at labor justice, you're looking at land justice, you're looking at economic justice, you're looking at food sovereignty. So it even climate change. So it crosses so many past that I think it's just important to work on it. And of all the things I can work on, this seemed one of the most important ones that would affect everybody in our community. So I chose that as an area to work on, and also health. So working on food justice has looked like a couple different things. Oftentimes I want to support a change in diet for communities that have colonized diets, that eat the standard American diet that leads to diabetes, heart disease, obesity, and other issues related to health. I also want to support the area around laborers. And so food justice for me has looked like trying to buy local and to teach cooking and to teach eating that doesn't use meat. So what I would call plant-based, and excluding meat from the diet and showing people how they can incorporate fresh vegetables and things that they can find locally into their diet. So that's one of the ways that has been really successful when people get around the table and share their stories about what food looked like before it was colonized for them. So for African Americans, people tend to think of Southern diets. There is a difference between the Southern diet and the African American diet, but they merged as a result of colonization and having very few choices. So you see a lot of pork, which is not healthy at all and wouldn't have traditionally been eaten in African countries. So having folks eat pork to survive is actually kind of a form of oppression in itself, because you're making people who had probably had religious reasons for not eating pork suddenly eat the thing that they're told not to eat. So I take the pork out, I take all the salt and the sugar and much of the fat out, and I leave in the flavor, the smokiness, all the things that people like, the sense of community that you can get from gathering around a table, but I try and decolonize it.
So one of the things that you just talked about is the concept of decolonizing our diets. What does this mean?
So decolonizing our diets, it means going back to the original foods that we used to eat, the foods that we had before they were highly processed, and with a lot of corn, a lot of corn syrup, a lot of wheat, a lot of the things that are just cheap that big agriculture produces for us. Before, we had more regional foods, regionally specific foods. We had more foods that had cultural impact. So in the South, it might be okra, it might be sweet potatoes. In places like in Texas, you would have had more variety in things like, believe it or not, potatoes, purple potatoes, red potatoes. You go in a store today, you find three kinds of potatoes. There are literally hundreds of potatoes. It's amazing. And the same is also true for corn. You have two or three kinds of corn being commercially produced, but if you actually look around, there's blue corn, there's red corn, there's pink corn, there's all these different kinds and varietals of corn, but they never make it to our market. So that we're going to either have to produce these things regionally ourselves and eat more locally, or we can continue to eat the things that are sold to us that aren't good for our health and don't allow us to have the range of foods that would be better for our communities and allow us to collect connect rather to our ancestors. So, for example, if you want to look up some of the indigenous diet and some indigenous recipes, it's going to be very hard for you to do that because most of them have been lost. There are things obviously like fish and salmon and blueberries and squash, but try and look up a recipe. It's very hard to do. One of the things that people are really surprised about is a southern dish, our southern food that people enjoy all the time called cornbread. And they say, oh, it's southern. It's not. It's indigenous. It's a native food. It comes from a kind of cornbread that was made by native people with corn and water. And so in different places, in like Mexico, same thing. Looks a little different. But it was adapted to southern taste. And you add the butter and you add the fat. You also have the health problems with that. Acorns can be eaten and part of an indigenous diet, but where do you commercially buy acorns from? So these are the kind of challenges that we have. And then fishing rights for indigenous people in this area have been curtailed, and oftentimes the health of the fish supply is not there because we've done things, either build dams or to contaminate the water, so they don't have an opportunity to have their diet that was their original diet. So they've made adaptations. One of the things we think of indigenous diets is we think of fry bread. That is a colonized food. Comes from having to survive off wheat again, and oil, which were rations assigned to people who were pushed off their land, and so they made the best of it. What I'd like to see is more people getting back to the diets that they had before they were colonized. For African Americans, that would look like perhaps rice, okra, yams, spinach. Those are things that were grown in the southern part of the world, in Africa, in the southern part of the United States. In places like Jamaica and Haiti, then you have chicken and goat. And what's really important about that is you don't see the consumption of beef. You don't see high consumption of beef. I believe we're eating like 250 pounds of beef per year, which are 252 pounds of meat, I think. But that's a ridiculous amount of meat consumption. And we have to slow down for climate change. So if people are going to eat meat, there are things that are more, there are things that are better for the environment in terms of what it's doing to the environment, in terms of the land use, the water use. 40% of grains that are grown are eaten by animals. So we're spending a lot of water resources on that, and I think it could be better if we didn't do that. So I personally think it's good if folks don't eat a lot of meat, but if they're going to eat it, just be aware that beef is probably the worst thing you can eat. Things like lamb or goat or even chicken tend to be better from the environmental perspective. Obviously not better for the lamb or the chicken, mm-hmm. if you're going to eat it, but mm-hmm. just from the environmental perspective. And I'd like to see even folks who consider themselves white. I know it's a social construct, but go back to some of their original foods. I see that a lot of them are grasping at what does it look like to be white. They realize that they've swapped their culture, their original cultures, for something that was supposed to be American, and they realize it wasn't a fair trade. So I'd like to see, you know, what a good Irish meal looks like. What would have looked like in Ireland using those resources? Or a Swedish meal. So we've got this American food, which isn't very tasty, is high in processed everything. So that's what my idea of decolonizing the diet is, to go back to some of the original foods. Let's go back to the cookbooks 100 years ago. Let's go back to some of the traditional foods and get away from some of the allergens in the food. Let's, you know, use organic methods of farming. Let's get smaller family farms back and get folks more invested in farming, which, by the way, is one of the things I like about Zinger Farms. So you have programs to help folks that don't have experience in farming or maybe want to get back to farming have that opportunity. I think it's very important because the average farmer is like 58 years old and will be retiring soon. So soon we're going to have a farming crisis because we're not going to be able to produce our own food here. And I think that is a matter of security. I don't want my food imported from other countries where they don't have similar laws as to what should go into the food. food, how the food should be grown, and we really won't be able to control that. So I think one less problem to have is to start to educate farmers now, get them involved, give them resources to help them sustain a healthy economy. And this area is growing. It's going to continue to grow because it's very wet here, and why sometimes that's upsetting to us, it means it's very fertile for growing things. So I'm very excited about Zinger Farms. I'm also very excited about the equity work that's going on in Zinger Farms. Turn of the century, 19% of farmers were African American, and now it's about 1%. So I'm glad that Zinger is one of the organizations that really has a strong commitment to equity and is working to change that so that there are more farmers that are Native and more farmers that are Hispanic and Latino and more African American farmers. So I'm excited about that. And thank you for doing that work.
So what are some ways that you can think of that we can decolonize our diets and support the movement to decolonize our food system?
I actually think we're going to have to start with the farmers. I don't think it's possible to go into one of your mainstream grocery stores and demand that they change the available selection of the various foods. I think it's hard because they regionally order, and that can be difficult. You can definitely try it. I don't think you'll find much success. I think it'll be much easier as a community to say, hey, the Ethiopian community needs this, and have a farm specifically grow those foods. And if they know that they have a ready audience for those foods, they're likely to grow them because they're profitable. I think that that's what needs to happen. And we can get together and we can do that. I personally don't really want to shop in a grocery store at all anymore. I'm looking into forming a food co-op because of the food sovereignty issues, because of the labor issues, because of the lack of fair trade and most of the things that I buy in the grocery store. It's hard to go into a grocery store and, you know, ethical capitalism doesn't exist. I'm not saying that it's going to be perfect, but I feel better about buying products and buying food from organizations that are local, that I can observe their labor practices, that I can observe that they're not, you know, harming animals, and that they're providing the foods that we want to eat. I don't think when I see cruelty-free and all these sorts of things on, like, vegan cheeses, I'm like, what? Well, was it? How was this produced? Was, you know, the tofu that was processed, was it cruel to the people who had to produce it? So I don't necessarily buy into that, but I do think we can have better labor processes, and I think better land processes. I want to make sure that we're not harming the land and spraying chemicals all over. So I think that would be the best way to start. You go out to the farmer and say, hey, I need to buy 500 pounds of oatmeal. And then you have a distribution site. I see that coming in a very near future for me. Like I said, I'm pretty much done with shopping in grocery stores where I have to get things in plastic. And then it comes in a box. And then I have to throw the box away and stick it in take the plastic and throw that away. Contributing to, you know, landfill and more garbage. Recycling is great, but I just think it would be nice not to produce that waste as well. So I would like to see farmers who can work with community to make sure that they're provided for. This supports the farmers, and then it supports the community. And I'd like to see organizations, community centers, churches, help folks with decolonizing their diet from both the health perspective and the cost perspective. It is actually not more expensive to buy things that aren't processed. That processing adds a huge cost. So for a little bit more work, you can produce superior foods. And I know that we're all short on time, so I'm going to recommend the Instapot and the Crock-Pot for making sure that some of these things happen, because I happen to eat a lot of beans, garbanzo beans, pinto beans, red beans, black beans, and a crock pot does wonders for that. And they have digital ones. You can set them to turn on and turn off. And so if you have those two jobs, you can make those beans and put them in containers and freeze them so that you're not having to cook several times a week. Saves energy. So it's just all around good if we can have organizations that support that. Zinger Farm does, with the community chef program. Obviously, people are able to come in and have that different experience of a more decolonized diet from the community chefs that bring their own knowledge, their lived experience of their diets to the community. So it's been very exciting participating in that. I'm looking forward to the next dinner that I'm going to prepare. We'll see what it's going to be. But it's definitely not going to be colonized food.
All right. Thank you so much, Rochelle. Definitely hope to be talking to you again soon and exploring more ways that we could be decolonizing our diets. But I really appreciate all of the things that you have just shared with us just now. Thank you.